All right. So, Mike, you're here for the sponsors.
I know. It's been a while. I moved up in the world.
Your scripted voice is the funniest thing ever. Like, when you try when you try to pretend that you don't know what's coming, like, oh, the ads. Like you did on the last episode. You're like, oh, AJ's coming on the line after we had did the interview already. But anyway.
Scott, I'm a trained actor.
Yes. So I want to talk about real quick before we get to the podcast here about some of the sponsors that make this podcast possible. Help us pay for a little bit of advertising, thing like that. Mm-hmm. A new pair of underwear for Burlew. First, I want to talk about Demented Brewing.
Oh, nice.
I was there today, actually. And I was down there. I took my dad and my uncle. It was a last-minute thing. I literally went down to visit my parents, and just my dad was home at the time. I'm like, hey, you want to go over to Demented? And he's like, Demented? My dad's not even a beer drinker. He doesn't even understand it.
Back in my day, we drank Bud Light and we liked it.
But Demented Brewing is a brewery located in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off of 287 Exit 8. Really easy to get to. It's a great brewery. We've been there together before. Mm-hmm. It's got 16 taps. It's always got rotating taps. Insanely flavorful ales. Okay, they got a barrel series. You could buy barrel-aged beers. You could join the Legion, which is their barrel club. Every Sunday, they put out something new. In fact, I just tried their beer that was made with a local meadery, which was kind of – not meadery, mead, like honey wine. And they just celebrated their one-year anniversary. So that is Demented Brewing. Go to www.dementedbrewing.com. Speaking of breweries, Manskirt Brewing. If you go back a few episodes, we were sitting in the lovely old school bank building in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Manskirt Brewing is they're not even a year old yet. So it's just another great New Jersey brewery that's popped up.
One of many.
They do a lot of like seasonally inspired ales. Like they got an Oktoberfest coming out and different things. It's just a really cool hang there. Joe's just a really down to earth guy. Go check him and his man Skirt out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they'll be at Kilt Fest, which hopefully we're going to be at Kilt Fest.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
So Kilt Fest down in Mercer County, go see Irish games and music and Scottish stuff. And so it's a great time. So go friend them, go Instagram them, go to manskirtbrewing.com. Burlew, what would a Verbal Shenanigans podcast be without Wolf Nation?
Pointless.
Wolf Nation sponsored us for probably over a year now.
Yeah.
And they are, again, an up-and-coming apparel company. He should be getting a whole bunch of new things coming in, but apparel for men, apparel for children, apparel for dogs. You can get your new dog a hat, maybe.
Yeah.
But Wolf Nation stands for Wake Up, Live Free. So basically the theme of it is not working for somebody, making your own way in the world. So that is Wolf Nation. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter. WULF Nation. Finally, our good friends at Trivia Revolution.
All right.
Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Each week, they bring you trivia many different locations. He's added about 20 locations just this year. So,
that's awesome.
All different nights of the week you can go. You can come see me at Tap House 15 on Wednesdays, right around 8 o'clock. But even if you are in last place, you win an awesome brewery. You could win a brewery prize. You could win prizes to that restaurant. You could join Mike Burlew's team. He could use all the help he can get.
Yeah. Coming up with some creative names.
Yeah. Ahi. But again, that is Trivia Revolution. Follow them on Instagram. Each week there's a bonus item you can bring, get points added to your score. So with that, up in the podcast is two friends of ours, well, one new friend, Jeremiah Watkins of The Wave from Comedy Central's Roast Battle. So he was a really fun guest, and our good friend AJ Mattioli joining us to tell us how to be a man.
Yeah, I need some lessons.
Yeah, enjoy the podcast.
Bam.
Hey, this is Mike Edison, author of I Have Fun Everywhere I Go, and you are a complete disappointment. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Can you dig it?
But our shenanigans are cheap and fun. Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cool and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right. Welcome to the show, Mike Burlew.
Again?
Yes, yes. This is the second time we're recording the intro to the show. This show has been chopped up basically in reverse order. Because the first interview we did, the last interview we did first, the second interview we did second, the intro we did was deleted because I knocked the thing off the table, and so when the power goes off, it loses the file. So, yeah, out of order, but I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be back. A really fun episode for you guys on the way here.
Definitely.
So, yeah, we are back today on the show. Okay, today. See, it's very hard to, like, fake the intro.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I hate this.
You guys should have just been there.
Yeah.
Really?
We just put the two interviews up with no context.
Yeah. You guys should have bought tickets to see us in Scott's house talking about shit.
Yeah, because that's entertaining.
Yeah.
So on the show today, okay, first we have, let's see if I can get it right this time, because I got it right wrong last time.
Wrong.
We have Jeremiah Watkins on the show.
There you go.
Now, that is not a wide receiver from the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
See, I used that line before.
Yeah, it's way funnier to say.
But I got it wrong the first time I said. I think I said Jeremiah Hawkins.
Exactly.
But anyway, if you've been watching Roast Battle, okay, if you watched it, I should say, he is a member of the Wave. Now the Wave, we'll get to it in a little bit, but the Wave for me almost made the show so ridiculous. You too, right, Berlo?
Yeah, when the battles happen, they have some funny back and forth, but they're the ones that come in the middle almost to give you a little intermission, almost celebrating the great roast back and forth.
A good joke, a bad joke, they do it all. And then later on in the show, we have AJ Mattioli calling back in. It's been a little while since we talked to him, so checking in, telling us about that transition and whatnot, but... So it's a very good show on the way. Okay.
Yeah, he's going over from Verizon to Sprint. It's been very interesting the last 4 months.
So good.
Can't get out of that contract. God damn it.
Binding. It's binding. but we had a good weekend together. We spent Friday together, Saturday together, and today together.
Yeah.
So that is three times in the last 4 days.
You're welcome.
So it's good to see you again, I guess. So Friday we go out to Mr. Krabby's, which is not
Denver.
Your nickname or your room, but Mr. Krabby's, a little seafood restaurant. We have some pineapple mojito. Oh, I have a pineapple mojito.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
with arugula.
With arugula, which I didn't taste arugula. I tasted it. Tastes like a mojito. Kind of, okay, so I had that, and I said, you know what? We're getting together tomorrow. Let's make some real drinks. Because you know what? Every once in a while when you're drinking the beers all the time, drink is nice. Like a nice drink. Not like a Jack and Coke. Like a drink that takes more than 30 seconds to make. Yeah. So I said, let's do that. And we do. We get together for pineapple mojitos and UFC. Nothing goes together better.
No. I think Conor McGregor has a tattoo of a pineapple mojito on his back.
It'd probably be better than the tattoos he has.
Was that an ape with a crown on it on his chest?
Yeah.
And a heart?
Yeah, something like that. And he's got lion on his stomach and then like bad tribal on his spine.
It just seems like he was going nuts the one day and the tattoo artist is like, okay, I'll put it on you. Stop it.
Yeah. So we get together for the fight. Me and the girls. Well, no, us and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Not me and the girls. It wasn't me and Izzy, and then we invited you. It was actually at your apartment.
That was awkward. I walked in. I'm like, what's going on? It's a party for all of us, Berlu.
Yeah. So we're in your apartment. The first time I've been in your apartment, which is we've known each other a good while now.
Close to 2 years.
We've done a lot of things together. Mm-hmm. We started off on the Johnny Watson show. We worked our way up to... The Verbal Shenanigans podcast, we went to NASCAR events, and now we still do this for free my no-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Yep.
House studio. Yep.
Studio house. It's a studio house.
sounds fancier that way, studio house.
Had a lot of fun along the way. 117 episodes later, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So, first time I've been to your house, but in my defense, every time I came to your place, you were outside ready to go, which means the bodies were still decaying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the acid takes a while to break them down, so I don't want you to come but in for that.
Credit to your girlfriend, your place looks like out of a catalog.
Yep, yep.
New couches, new TV stands. Mm-hmm. Every quote about love that was ever sang in a song is on the wall. There's the kissing wall, which if you guys have heard of the Blarney Stone, the next step is the kissing wall.
Yeah,
where you lean back on your couch and you kiss the wall behind you that is full of pictures of you and your girlfriend kissing. So it's like you got to check those things off in your life.
Yeah, it's weird how many Irish people come to our apartment. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I don't have time for this.
Right. So she Hurricane Izzy swept through the Berlew apartment, but made it almost a habitable place.
I think there's like five items that were pre-her still in the apartment. So,
but it looks good. It looks good. I'm happy.
She does a great job.
She does a great job.
And I enjoy it. It's a home. It's a home.
It's a home. You guys fart in the fan there and stuff like that. Maybe we'll get to that later. but we watched the fight. Okay. First off, I've only been really a fan of the UFC for maybe a year and a half now, something like that. Probably since that first Conor fight. I went to fights for years, here and there. Friends would be out of bars, and I've had fun. But I don't know. I feel like in the last 2 years, it's really hit its stride where it's a lot of people are just interested in it. And
they have keystone people that you get into, the Ronda Rouseys, the Conor McGregors, the Brock Lesnars.
Yeah. And I've been listening to the Rogan podcast for 2 years, and he's really in-depth on all this stuff. So I hear things that I don't even – would never see before. So it gets you into it. But when I got to your house, I was so excited for the fight. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And every time I think a fight's awesome, it usually ends in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Every Tyson fight or Mayweather fight, it's usually let down. But this one obviously lived up to all expectations, if not more.
Exactly.
Five rounds, okay, two guys beating the hell out of each other. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying before this file got deleted, the two of them are fictional characters. Nate Diaz is he's if you had a guy in a 90s movie to play Spanish Thug number one, he's the guy. He would have one line,
I kind of see him the principal in the 80s films that are super serious. Oh, hey, how's it going there, Principal Diaz? Everything is good.
No, see, I see him oh, you loco ese, and then beating the shit out of someone. And then there's Conor McGregor, who is the biggest shit talker. If anybody says they hate him, I don't even try to pretend they shouldn't. He is so hateable, but I love him now because he's a fictional character. The things he says, he's maybe you'll come home, put your red panties on. Have a good fight. You have a good fight. Your wife will put red panties on for you. And he just says the most insane, throwing water bottles. Just, that guy is a lunatic.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's smart because all he does is sell pay-per-views. So, if you're the UFC, all you want is McGregor fights.
Exactly.
You want to keep that guy healthy and happy because he makes you millions, if not billion.
Well, that's why they didn't want him on 200. They pretty much said, no, you got to promote this because we know you're going to go freaking nuts here. Oh, I'm training. But we don't care if you win or lose. Get up there and say some shit.
See, I think if he lost this fight, there was a lot at stake, I thought. Because here's what happens. If you talk so much trash, you're then all of a sudden accountable, you better back it up, or people just think you're a fraud, okay? If I say, I'm the best podcaster of all time, okay, and I just talk shit, I insult
Joe Rogan
and Radio Lab and Bill Burr, and then no one listens to my podcast, so status quo, I'm a fraud.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. It's like if you say, bro, it's like if you were like, look, I'm the greatest serial killer of all time. But then, like, Ed Gein and Jeffrey Dahmer and all those guys are above you. They're better than you.
Well, I mean, I'm not a murderer, but still, I'm a little insulted. You said that they're better than me, so I don't know what to do here. Yeah,
but, yeah, so, so Connor lived up to it. We both thought he won. I thought he had three rounds.
Yeah.
I thought Nate had one insane round where he definitely won.
That's about the only argument I would give to people who say Connor Nate won. I would say, okay, if you're going to say it's a draw, I can somewhat see round three, he won 10-8, and it's a draw.
Yeah.
But if you're saying, oh, Diaz won, that's where I go, nah.
I don't know if I've ever watched a UFC fight that was a draw. Like, scored a draw. I don't know.
I'm sorry, you got to send it to overtime.
Yeah. Or
first one to take down wins.
Or like arm wrestling. Dumb wrestling. Yeah. Whoever. Whoever.
Your fucking thumb.
One, two, three, four. I declare a thumb war, you Spanish asshole.
Your thumb is weak compared to mine. I've been training my thumb for the last 12 months.
Your thumb is fat.
Your fucking thumb looks like a pinky. What the hell? You're going to shove it up some man's ass?
Diaz thumbs go right up the ass. The arse. But, overall, probably the best UFC fight I've ever watched. I'm sorry, the best I've ever watched live.
Yeah.
I can only match the excitement the time we went out for the Rousey fight. That was pretty exciting. The Rousey
fight. Holm knocked her out. That was pretty. And that was the only fight we saw because we got there so late.
Yeah.
That was UPWA night.
No. Go listen to that episode at your funeral.
Yeah. Now, the first 3 hours lag, but in the second half, that's when we get going.
But let's shift gears here. The fight was amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I guess that's it, really. Just we could talk more about it. But let's get to our first guest here. Jeremiah Watkins, okay? Member of The Wave. Now, if you have watched the roast battles, you know The Wave because they, to me, they stole the show, okay? They're these guys that come out between each joke and do these ridiculous acts and ridiculous
celebrations
of a good joke, or they make fun of a bomb. Yeah. So I just want to play this video real quick before we get to Jeremiah. This was Meet the Wave, and it was on the Comedy Central site. So let's hear it real quick.
Give it up for the Castro Mama star just stopping by.
Oh, come on.
They're the guys doing the woe.
I gotta say, I love The Wave. You're like one scared white guy away from a Bernie Sanders rally. I like that.
People were coming up to us and they're like, who are you guys?
We've been known as America's favorite boy band.
Yeah.
So not everybody can battle. It would take all night. So people just started sitting around the room and heckling. And these guys just started jumping in and being part of the battle.
That nigga look like he bite cans for a living.
They're like cartoon characters. They don't even talk. They just run around and sort of improvise different little bits in between the roast jokes.
I was excited when I heard Joe did drag until I realized it wasn't behind a pickup truck.
Ooh, I feel like we're kind of the voice of the audience. When a joke hits really hard, we reward the comedian with something physical or just going crazy. A turn up.
Yeah, exactly.
With a turn up.
Would you let The Wave smash?
Oh, yeah, they smashed already. So, that's actually my
throwing powder.
We heighten any joke that hits hard, and then when a joke bombs, we feel what the audience is feeling.
Vaseline himself.
What was that, Wave?
The Wave's one of my favorites just because they're that medium. So it's like, they're like, oh, like the audience will be like, oh, that joke is whack. And then The Wave will just come out and do something absolutely outrageous, and everyone will laugh, and it almost resets the world.
I don't think we ever left a show going like, that sucked. I don't think anyone ever said that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
impossible.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm.
Awesome.
So that's The Wave. Without further ado, here is our interview with Jeremiah Watkins.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Jeremiah Watkins?
This
is M. How's it going?
Member of what we now have learned is The Wave. What's up, man? Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm Scott Brennan. This is my cohort here, Michael Berlew, who's waving at the phone. He's literally waving at the phone right now, which is kind of sad.
I want him to feel welcome. Mm-hmm.
What up, you shenanigans? You shenanigan heads out there, what's going on?
Wow. That is the level of humor Jeremiah Watkins brings to the table every night.
To be fair, he glitter bombed his phone as he was doing it, so...
Jeremiah opens every show with a bomb. It's incredible.
But Jeremiah, okay, so I was just explaining how I got in touch with you. I was watching Roast Battle, which we'll talk about in a second, laughing my ass off at this whole Wave thing, which we'll get to in a second. But then you like throw up your Twitter handle at the very end of it, I think. And I was like, you know what? Let's just reach out to this guy, see if we can grab him on the cast, because I got to hear like the story of this and find out like how this all started and whatnot. But first off, well done, you and your partners there on the goddamn roast battles. You almost had me laughing more at you guys than the actual jokes. I was dying.
Well, we love hearing that. Yeah, it's one of those volatile things where people either got it and they loved us or they hate everything that we did. So we're pretty happy about that.
I loved every second of it because it's so over the top and ridiculous. That's like the first time you see it, you're like, what the fuck? And then as it goes on, you're like, this is great. You're almost like, what the hell are they going to do next? What the hell are they going to do next? So first up, I looked you up a little bit. You're a stand-up also, right?
Yeah. Me, Jamar Neighbors, and Willie Hunter, through The Wave, we're all stand-up comedians, been buddies for a long time, and we met through the stand-up comedy scene in Los Angeles. And then the roast battle just happened. That started happening just a few years ago in the belly room of the Comedy Store.
Right. So, okay, so you're a comic, you're doing your thing. I've heard about these roast battles, like even on podcasts, like Rogan talks about them sometimes and how they just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. We actually see some of them now. Like I hear a little bit about them in New York. I know in New Jersey they just tried one recently. So where does this transition go from, hey, you're a comic, like working as a comic, to this idea of this group, The Wave?
Yeah, Jamar and I, Willie, we're all very physical comedians. At least Jamar and I are very, very much physical comedians within our act. Willie a little bit, more so Jamar and I. And it really just came to be something where it started off. The origin of it, Jamar started it, where it was literally, so we used to be called the All Negro Wave, because it was just black guys in the corner of the belly room that would just go, whoa, whenever a joke would do well.
Then how'd you get in?
Yeah. So 6 months into the show, Brian Moses, the show creator and host, he was like, Jeremiah, you got to come by the show. I think you'd really dig it. And I finally was like, yeah, all right, I'll come by. And they were down a guy that night, and Jamar was like, dude, you gotta fill in. So I was the only white guy in the corner in the All Negro Wave, and
All Negro Wave.
Yeah, listen, yeah, Jeremiah, we're down to Negro. That. We need your help. Come on down here.
Yeah, we're one down here, man. So I filled in, and it just worked. And at this point, this is when it had evolved into, you know, running up on stage and doing dumb physical stuff. And then as I came into it, and then we brought Willie Hunter in. It just became this thing where we started including more props and just getting a little bit crazier and just heightening it to, you know, its limits. And that's what you saw on the roast battles, what we do in the belly room every single week.
So, like, you guys just come as an audience, or you just now you have, do you have like a section where you come in, and like do people try to join you?
We have a section. It used to be a thing where people could just jump in, but we don't really allow that anymore because there's too many people who want to be a part of it now.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more like, no, this is a thing. So, we have our own section that's reserved every single week at the Comedy Store. And, Yeah, that's we have a section very similar to the TV show where we have a little place on the floor to set our props and stuff like that and to be able to grab at any moment, and whenever joke hits, go up there and turn up, you know what I'm saying?
It's great, man. It adds this weird element to it where, like, it almost – it's nice because, like, it breaks up the jokes too and, like, makes you go, like – I don't know. It becomes this, like, celebration of a good joke. And I just think it's freaking brilliant, man. But so when you guys first started, did people like find it annoying, or like was it always accepted?
There was a few people that would just be like, there's a few people that would tell us like, hey, stop going up there so much, and we're like, man, shut up, like this is funny. Like, and Moses, the host and creator, he's always been a champion for the Wave, and so is Jeff Ross. So those are the guys who really their opinions matter with the show. So they've always loved us and supported our ideas and us being a big integral part of the show. So we, you know, just ran with that and just didn't listen to anybody else who may not like what we were doing. But as soon as we established what it was at the Comedy Store, people were like, oh, this is awesome. And then most people who see the show, they love the Wave. It's funny that some people through social media, they don't get it or they don't like it. We found it to be very funny that ended up being one of the most controversial things of the show.
Well, we'll get to the end in a minute, but
now a question for you is, when you start doing it, has any of the comedians like debated you? It's like, no, nah, that wasn't that good, man. Get off the stage.
Oh, no, because we kill with the audience every time. Like, that's not even a question. Like, we choose very specific moments to get up on stage. So if a joke kills, we're going to reward that joke. If a joke bombs, we're going to do the exact same thing. If it's a middle-of-the-road joke, we're staying in our seats. And the three of us, we always check in with each other. And it has to be – we all have to agree on it for us to go up. If some of us are like, that doesn't deserve it, then we stay in our seats, you know?
It's like in the McGregor fight. You needed all three judges to decide.
Yeah. So take us in. Give us a little insight on the planning for this. Do we have like pre meetings, like, and what props we're gonna bring? Like, how many hours go into the planning of these celebrations or whatever you want to call them, acts?
Yeah. We go around to different stores. Luckily, this is the first time we actually had a budget. whenever we're at the Comedy Store for the Belly Room, I literally just go to like dollar stores every week or random party places.
Yep.
And look around and get props. They gave us a budget for the TV show, so we had a Comedy Central credit card and cash, and we were just like little kids in candy stores. Like, we were going around Montreal and just finding stuff. We'd rip out ideas, and we were like, oh, we do that. And we'd like put on a silly hat and be like, yeah, and you can walk like this and do that. And it's just like, it's a giant riff session that ends up happening. And then we get all of our ideas, and then we organize it accordingly to the show.
Do you have a set list? Like, is it like in order, or is it like, let's do this one now?
The only time we will ever use a set list, and this, it's pretty rare, for the live show, we had to have a set list for a couple things just right. Because it's a live show and there's so many working parts. And we wanted to let the DJ Coach T know about like some music or sound effect cues. We had a set list for that. But normally we go without a set list because we don't know which vignettes or sketches or bits that we're going to do because we try to match it up. Sometimes we get lucky. We have props that end up going along with the jokes. And what a lot of people don't know is we never listen to the jokes ahead of time. So when the audience is hearing those jokes for the first time, we are too. So we're reacting honestly as audience members as well.
Now I got to ask you, what kind of credit card does Comedy Central have? Do they have the nice platinum American Express, or are you like going out there with like a Capital One card where you got to beg people to take the thing?
I think they use MasterCard. I think that's what it was.
I don't even want that. I just want that Chipotle card.
Yeah. We pretty much we went over budget every single night. They're like, all right. They're like, all right, guys. You have a $100 limit. We're like, this is a TV show. This is not happening. So by the end, by the last time, we spent like $500, and we're supposed to only spend $100. So we haven't found out yet if we're going to get in trouble for that. But I think that it's not.
So that's why the nightly show got canceled.
Yeah. We can't pay the nightly show anymore.
Spent all the money at the 99-cent store.
So you guys were obviously it really added to the show. The show is a success, I think. I think it's going to come back, I would imagine, and maybe in a different city or whatnot. Now, you got to do it. Like, have you seen like people reach out to you? Has this thing grown almost immediately since then? I mean, obviously, we reached out to you, so one person at least reached out to you. But what was it? What was the reaction to all of this?
I mean, it's the biggest. It's the most activity I've ever had on social media in the shortest amount of time, because people either love us or hate us. So they'll either reach out with tweets saying you guys are the best, you're our favorite parts of the show, we love you, or we would get tweets like, I changed the channel because of you guys, I stopped watching the roast battle because of you guys, we hate you. Get this unfunny white faggot off stage. You know, this
wow.
is this really, yeah. Yeah. really nice, like, stuff that people, would tweet out. So it's a mixed bag. So we've had, a lot of reactions, but pretty much any comedian who watches the show or people who get comedy love The Wave. Like Seth Rogen, Jimmy Kimmel, Judd Apatow, all those guys had so many nice things to say about The Wave. Louis C.K., he was watching the show, and yep. I met him backstage afterwards, and he's like, he goes, I love The Wave. He goes, I love what you guys are doing. It's
hilarious.
It's silly. He goes, it's refreshing. And I was like, hey, man, that's one of the top comics in the game. So that meant mm-hmm. A lot to me to hear that from him. So
it's not
cool.
The top comic.
Right.
No, it's just I don't know how anyone can not find it hilarious. It's just – it's so over the top, and with the horns going and the crowd, it just – it kills me. But go ahead.
That's what's so funny. That's why we find it so funny that some people are so passionately angry about it. And it's like, just watch us. It's the silliest, dumbest stuff that we're doing. And people are like, this is ridiculous. This is reprehensible. I can't believe this.
Yeah,
like,
I got to come out. I'm one of those guys that gets really upset, you know.
Are
when,
you?
When I go into a roast battle, I expect professionalism.
Yeah.
I expect proper judging.
Calm.
Yeah.
Hired judges, really.
I expect a proper time limit. I want penalties if somebody uses incorrect words.
Right.
Language. And when these gentlemen jump onto the field of the roast battle, that upsets me. It turns off the timing of this epic battle.
I'm sorry.
I have to deal with
I'm
this.
Sorry, man.
And
I'm
I have
sorry.
To talk to this gentleman. Dancy.
I know you have to talk to him. I know you have to talk to him. But let's talk about one reason maybe someone did shut the TV off. Your last hurrah, the swan song of The Wave on TV. You jump mm-hmm. on stage with a razor and begin to shave your pubes on national television in a moment where everyone's like, wow, this is crazy, blah, blah, blah. The celebration's happening. The Wave jumps up and almost blasts it into a new atmosphere. Like... something most people probably have never seen before. And if you have seen it, it's a little weird.
Yeah. to my knowledge, I'm the first person in history to shave their pubic hair on live television.
Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm really trying to make strides out here in L.A., make my family mm-hmm. proud, keep the family name going. So, yeah, it was pretty special.
So where did that come from, man?
Okay, so... I did it one other time. I did it at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room.
Yeah, in the bathroom by yourself.
No. I did it for a roast battle show, okay, where it was actually in March or April I did it. So I had the idea for the bit, and I was like, I'm just going to do this. We keep trying to come up with things to, you know, outdo ourselves of, like, crazy reactions or responses. So there was it ended up being sometimes you get really bad battles since it's a weekly show, you know. It's a mixed bag sometimes, where sometimes the battles are amazing, sometimes they're not so good. It ended up being a horrible night of battles, and we were showcasing for Comedy Central and some other, like, networks or whatever that were coming out to see the show, and it just so happened that it was a bad night of battles.
Mm.
And I was like, I gotta do this. This is the night to do it. I had brought the electric razor with me. I was like, I didn't know if I was gonna do it, but I was like, I gotta save this show. And I did. In the last round of that battle, I did that, where I went up on stage, I shaved my pubes, and then we started throwing them around the stage. And the reaction that it got in the room was the strongest response to anything I've ever done on stage before. Like, the crashing of different reactions that came back towards the stage after I did it was, you can't even describe it. It was just like people laughing, some people crying, some people screaming, some people disgusted, but there's just so many emotions that were going on in the room, and I was like, oh, if we're doing this on TV, I gotta do this bit again. And I saved it for the live show because I was afraid that it might get cut if we did it on one of the taped shows. And
smart.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not all just stupidity with the Wave. We're like a chess game. You know, you gotta play the long game sometimes.
Yes, yes.
And you know, people responded, and Judd Apatow said it made him fall in love with comedy again. So that's basically the best thing that he could have said.
Oh man.
Now, did you specifically grow yourself out to make sure you had something for the event?
I did.
That's not one you could do weekly.
No.
Unless you're Italian or Arab.
It took me 3 months to prepare for that bit. The night that I did it at the Comedy Store, we had already known that we were going to be shooting in July for the TV show, and I was like, well, this is gonna be one of the bits that I do for the TV show. So I started growing it out the next day, leading up to 3 months later in Montreal whenever we shot the show.
It's gonna suck when the Wave's doing Wave's doing their own shows and they're like, do the pew bit, and you're gonna be like, I can't.
I'm out, guys. I can't do it anymore.
Oh man. So, Jeremiah, like, let's talk real quick about, like, your personal comedy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Are you basically an L.A. comedian? Are you a touring comedian? How's that
so
work?
I'm based out of Los Angeles. I feature on the road a lot for comedians like Bobby Lee Jeff Ross and Ralphie May. Yeah.
Very nice.
And I just started headlining. I literally just did my first headlining weekend this past weekend in Billings, Montana. What?
Now you made it, Montana.
I know, I'm making it now, man.
They're like, you should see the pubes we can shave off out here.
Yo, we got the pube guy from Comedy Central coming to Billings, Montana. I don't know what that accent is, but
if they shave their
you gotta see the pube guy. Yeah.
If they shave their pubes in Montana, it'd be like tumbleweed rolling around the comedy club.
If you do anything in Billingsley, Montana this weekend, you shave your pubes.
See the pube guy
up on there.
See the pube guy. So
I've been doing stand up about 7 years, and
nice.
I more recently been touring more of the US with different comedians, and just recently started headlining. So yeah, looking forward to doing more of that all the time, and then I'm involved with another show, the Goddamn Comedy Jam, which is also going to be on Comedy Central. Airs next week, actually.
Awesome.
Or this week, this Sunday. It airs this Sunday on Comedy Central and MTV after the VMAs, so we're super excited for that.
That's awesome, man. So if people want to check out The Wave or Jeremiah Watkins, or like where do they go? Like, what's your Twitter? All that fun stuff.
Go to jeremiahwatkins.tv. It's my website. And then follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jeremiah Standup. Jamar Neighbors is at Jeremiah. Or, excuse me. Jamar Neighbors is at Jamar Neighbors on Twitter. And Willie Hunter is, I believe, at Will Hunter Show.
Jeremiah, thanks so much for popping on. I thought it was freaking hilarious. I'd love to talk to you again in the future. Maybe if, like, when Roast Bottle comes back, we'll get you back on or something like that. But it was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate you reaching out.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
But I think what we should do now, we're going to double guest it today. We're going to double guest it. Let's quickly change gears here.
Okay.
But that freaking wave shit is hilarious, man. It almost stole the show. Like, the jokes were so good, but it's like the judges were Jimmy Kimmel and Judd Apatow and Seth Rogen and Whoopi Goldberg and all these people. They almost stole the show from them, you know? Like, it's, like, amazing.
That's amazing.
Amazing. But let's shift gears, and let's get our good friend AJ Mattioli on the
phone. Oh, there we go.
I love you're planted. Oh, there we go.
It's me, Mario.
For those of you who don't understand, sometimes we piece these together because some guests can come on earlier, some can't.
Yeah, but you cut this out.
Yeah, but we cut it, and so Berlew's laugh track. Oh, there we go.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful.
That was.
I wonder what you.
That was the worst. Oh, who's coming on next?
Huh? No.
Oh, here we go. You didn't know anything about AJ, right?
No.
Here's AJ Mattioli. All right, Mike Berlew.
Talk to me, Scotty.
It is that time. It's been a little while now. I can't even remember the last time we talked to AJ here.
Been about a month.
It's got to be more than that.
Were you still at your parents' when the last time we talked to AJ? I don't even know.
It's a good question. It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah.
Feels like it's good. But,
I've been a guy for about 6 weeks now. I've been waiting for you.
Those of you who maybe just listening for the first time, like all of you, we check in with a good friend, AJ Mattioli. He is a director of Mattioli Productions, does a lot of LGBT films and whatnot, and he's actually going through a transition from female to male. So kind of as a idea, like a roving reporter kind of thing, I've been having him check in, like, I don't know, probably like four times at least now. He's been on the show been on the show a good time. So it's always interesting to hear, especially something you never really get a perspective of. So let's give our good friend AJ a call and let's bust some balls.
Oh, I see what you did there.
AJ.
That was a testicles joke, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is ball joke. Term.
I am 1 minute early, though, so. Is this AJ Mattioli?
Hello, hello.
We were just saying it feels like it's been a long time this time.
Mm-hmm. I feel, yeah, it definitely has. I know we've been trying to catch up here and there, and it just hasn't really, you know, worked out because my schedule's so insane, but it's nice to finally reconnect and be back on Verbal Shenanigans.
It's always great to have you, and we're back again, and we've had a good run of interesting guests since the last time you've been on. We had a man who lived as a goat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, every time I think my friends are weird, I talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, here's what happens: we like reach out to the weird, and then I ask the weird after the podcast, "Do you know any other weird people that would be great to talk to?" And that seems to work out well. It's a good business model.
That's great. That's
it's like one of those pyramid scams, like when you're selling something and like you got to sign up friends.
What else we have?
Oh yeah, there you go. What other weirdos would like this water cooler?
No, but this guy lived as a goat for like, I don't know, a couple weeks or something like that. He wrote a book about it.
He had to walk down a mountain as a goat as they were herding.
He made prosthetics. He tried to convert his stomach to eat only grass. He had things done to his brain. It was pretty wild.
Wow.
We had
you got money, I guess, why not?
Yep, we had a man pup.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we had someone from the gay community who lives as a man pup. He's in England. He lives as a dog.
Oh, yeah. The kink community is definitely interesting.
Oh. Well, just so you know, Mike has converted completely now. He is also a man pup since the last time you talked to him.
Stop that, Scotty.
He's actually a man goat. He's actually gone full.
Yeah, full I went the wrong direction. I bought the wrong outfit. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay for another one.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you ate,
I mean, I got to go to the store, return it.
You ate trash anyway, so it's just a natural segue.
That's pretty good.
But anyway, so it's been a while. I think last time we talked to you had to be about 3 months ago. Had to be.
Yeah, I would say about 3 months ago. Definitely, definitely.
So give us the update on the transition. I know I've followed you along the way. I know there's been some frustration and things.
Yeah, there's definitely been some frustration. You know, like any 16-year-old boy going through puberty, like some of them, you know, they become men a little bit quicker, and you know, they're at their senior proms with full beards, and you know, and then other ones, their voice is still cracking till mid college. I'm sadly looking like my voice is gonna be cracking till mid college.
Great.
So I don't really notice it so much that it cracks when I'm talking. Like, it's still definitely very feminine, but it cracks when I go to like when I'm singing with my friends at like a club, like having a good time. I go to hit like the higher note, and it just nothing comes out.
Well, it's funny because I coach like 14, 15, 16-year-old boys in soccer, so I hear that that squeak all the time. Like today, I was coaching, and I hear like, pass me the ball!
Exactly. So I feel very much like that. And it's going to progressively get worse until it gets better, which is fine. You know, I mean, you guys know I have a good sense of humor with everything. So, you know, I get frustrated for the moment. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to make fun of myself, and it's fine.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. But how about like the shot process? Are you getting used to it? Are you still administering it yourself? Or
yeah, I'm doing the shots myself. The first time I did it by myself, I had a friend with me, and we were kind of getting pumped up, and he was like, "Yeah, we're gonna do this," and it didn't, you know, it didn't hurt that much. And then the next time I did it by myself in my room with no one pumped me up, and that hurt like a mother.
I'm just picturing you guys like chest bumping. Dude, you gotta do that, yeah!
Bro, I need a spot. Bro.
And at first, like, I do it, like, I have to have only my boxers on so I can just, like, lift it up because it's on your upper leg. So, like, it's the first time I did it with my cisgender heterosexual friend Kevin, and he's like, "Whoa, dude, how much clothes you got to take off?" I'm like, "Just my pants, man. I'm keeping my boxers on. We're cool.
You won't do it. You won't do it. Take that shot, then do a shot. Let's go."
Well, we made the decision that we do the shot and then we smoke. So we did the order correct.
Oh, okay.
Things got weird when they mixed it up one day.
Right.
Oh, so I'm like, why is there a needle in my eye?
I smoked all my testosterone.
Dude, we just shot up the U.S. Postal Service, dude.
Goddamn.
So what about...
He looks so manly now. Damn it.
So what about your feelings, your moods, whatnot? How's that going?
I definitely get a little bit angrier a little bit faster. You know, and I think being aware that my fuse is a little bit shorter is very important for everybody around me. So, like, I'll know, like, I'm getting angrier, and I'm like, I have to kind of put my 35-year-old brain in charge of my, like, my anger and to say, okay, you're 35, look at this outside the box. Is this something that you would normally get infuriated about? And then I'm able to, like, kind of calm myself down. But I could definitely see how these younger transgender men are just yelling at people all the time. Like, if you can't kind of outside yourself as an, you know, because you're an adult, it's going to be difficult. So
listen, I was, when I was 16, I was a real shithead going through puberty. So I used to say things to my mom, small, like, what's wrong with me? Like, I think back then, like, you know, so I can't imagine doing that when you're an adult.
If you want a dick, you got to be a dick. No, right. That's the rule.
It is. It's completely, it's, you know, the fact that, like, you know, boys will be boys, actually, you know, as much as I hate that term because, you know, like, boys should be held responsible. But, like, you know, 16-year-old boys, when they're doing stupid shit, like, walking down the block, like, just breaking stuff, they shouldn't, obviously. But, like, having been on testosterone for this amount of time, I could see the want to just break a mailbox for no reason.
I say do it. I say do it. You won't do it.
We should videotape that. We should bring AJ into the middle of the field with, like, a bunch of different items and just be like, do it.
Like Office Space, like the copier. Just give her a bat.
Fax machine, yeah.
Give him a bat and a fax machine and mailbox.
Oh, God. That was great in that film.
So overall, you would say it's going well?
Spirits are good? I think it's, I mean, I was kind of feeling like nothing, like absolutely nothing was happening physically. And I went through some, I was on Time Hop on Facebook, and I was like, oh, my face is changing a little bit. So my face is definitely getting a little squarer. Sadly, I had a very nice ass, and it's just getting flatter. And that makes me sad, because it was one of the nicer things.
You can't have it both. You can't have it both.
But now do you still have the boobs, though? That's the question.
I know. I'm like, why can't my boobs get flatter? No, my ass is getting flatter. This is ridiculous.
See, I have the opposite. I am a male. I have a normal body. But I was born with a black girl's ass. Like, I have a very big ass. Like, sometimes when I'm... Sometimes when I'm naked, like get out of the shower and I like glance in the mirror, I'm like, "Ho!" You know, like,
like someone's following
myself
you.
On
yeah. Like, what is that? You know, and I think like I put on like maybe like 10 pounds in the last year, and I can't really find it anywhere, but I think it's in my ass.
It's definitely being carried in your ass. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you just gotta embrace it. You just gotta embrace it.
So on the next episode, we'll have a doctor, and I'll give you a little bit of my ass back to you. And look it up.
The world's first ass transplant on Verbal Shenanigans.
I'm on the subway all the time, and like, you know, it's summertime, so girls are wearing a lot less clothing, and I see some of them, and they're like, you know, not so gifted in the breast area. And I'm like, oh, I just want to do a transplant. You can have these bad boys, and I'll take your A cups, and everyone will be happy.
Right? Oddly, not the weirdest conversation in the New York City subway.
No.
Not even close.
All right, so spirits are good. I think it's like one of those things. It's probably easier said than done, but I, you know, if you take it as far as time in your life, it's only been a few months.
Yeah, it's been it just hit 6.5 months.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's going well. And little changes, like I'm noticing you know, the hair on my face is getting a little bit darker, and you know, the hair on my legs getting a little bit coarser. You know, but nothing at this point. I'm not full ZZ Top yet, sadly.
So. Well, I mean, like I said, think about it. It's what's actually happening, you know, 6 months in a 35-year span to reverse everything. That's got to be, you know, that's got to be a crazy feat. So I would just say stay patient. And before you know it, you'll be a lumberjack.
Yeah, I have to, like, get into like wilderness and stuff. I don't know. I'm just gonna be a New York City boy. And
Well, if you want to, if you ever want to do the wilderness, you just come to Jersey, and me and I'll take you with my dog.
You guys do like the flannel.
I love the flannel.
You guys are big flannel guys.
But you know what's weird? You know what's weird? Now I'm a little pissed because I've been wearing flannel since I was in like third grade. The only thing I did back then was tie them around my waist, like Wayne's World style. But
nice.
But I've kept the flannel. Like, the flannel is basically cycled. Like, I was out of style for a long time, and now all of a sudden everyone's wearing the flannel. And I feel like I can't give up on my flannel because it will be out of style soon, and it will just be mine again.
I think just add to it so they know it's not a fashion thing. Just, like, throw dirt on it so you smell a little bit more, too. It'll be nice.
Well, I mean, like, I do want to get laid again.
That is important.
That is the goal in life, isn't it? So, I got to get some freaky girls. Maybe I'll get a girl pup.
Yeah. A girl pup.
That's going to be a weird party with girl pups and flannel. I'm not sure I'm going to be down with that. I might miss that episode.
We're really making that
a very specific orgy.
Yeah.
No, not black and red. No, we said green and white flannel for today.
Yes, come on now. We have standards.
The bears in the corner are not going to appreciate this.
So, AJ.
Fantastic.
Let's shift gears. Production-wise, I've noticed a few things. Posting some stuff on Words and whatnot. What's going on with the productions, movies, films, shorts? What's going on?
Fantastic stuff. My documentary, Words, is going to have a New York premiere the end of October. We are setting up a couple of meetings to look at spaces and figure out which venue is going to work best for it. And it's going to be, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've done a lot of movies, production design, producing, directing, the whole list. And I'm damn proud of this film.
It is
really good.
Yeah, let us know. Hopefully we can get out there.
So yeah, I would love it. It should be very, should be nice. A lot of press is a lot of the LGBT magazines and online press is interested. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, people, it'll get out there. And, you know, for me, it's all about just paying it forward. So, like, I automatically give a percentage of any profits from my films to one of the many, you know, gay charities. So, like, the more people Well, they show up, the more money the charities get. It's a win-win situation, you know?
Yeah. So real quick, for people who don't know the film Words, just give it like a little synopsis of it in case this is the first time they're hearing your voice.
Yeah, thank you. So Words is it's a documentary and explores identity of people around a New York City area, which is always ever changing and evolving, and how people identify. New York City, you're going to find, you know, your people that identify as a lot of different things. So we have some amazing drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race are in it. We have some amazing New York City politicians that are in it, lawyers, doctors. It's really fantastic. It's really a nice in-depth look into how people identify themselves when you strip away the labels that are put on them.
I'm a little scared that you said amazing politicians.
Hmm. Well, it's a fictional movie. Keep in mind.
It's like Narnia.
Well, New York City politicians that are actually just about New York.
Gotcha.
So we partnered up with the Ali Fournay Center, which is a New York City charity that houses over 400 LGBT youth a night. So we got the Peter who operates and owns the Ali Fournay Center to give us an interview, and he's just an amazing individual. So I got, even when you film something like this, like, it's always nice to have a great final product, but the process of going in it, I mean, you guys know, you guys talk to different people every week. You know, I talked to people during that film that I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Like, right. It was very interesting to do. So hopefully you guys will be able to come out and see it. If not, you know, I'll always throw you a DVD.
Now what makes this feel more exciting to you than the others? What's making this feel special to you?
Well, I mean, I think it, having done a movie about identity while I was kind of becoming AJ, and more of the concrete, I'm going to go on testosterone, and I'm going to do this transition. It's not just an idea anymore. It's, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on to medicine. So while I was in that process and finding doctors is when I was filming this. So it definitely has a more personal feel to it, because I'm exploring my identity while talking about others' identities.
Okay.
And also my crew, I was somehow lucky enough to nail down a director of photography named Corey Green, who has been nominated for 2 Emmys, and he's only, God, like 26. So he's already been nominated for 2 Emmy Awards. So clearly, his he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So the footage itself, I mean, my other footage has looked great, but not Emmy Award winning director of photography great.
Now, is this the first time you've stepped like really in front of the camera with your projects, or?
No, I've pretty much I've had a fill in during the comedy The Coffee Shop,
right?
Because a person didn't show up, and I was the only person that could do that part because it needed to look like a lesbian, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm playing
sorry.
A lesbian.
I didn't think the role was for me.
Wait. You're telling me we're speaking with coffee drinker number 3?
Oh.
What? Mind blown.
You didn't know. All that time. That was your favorite actor.
The way he picked up the decaf.
Yeah.
I believed it. I believed that was a person. I'm not that tired. I don't want to put this in my system, but I need to drink this.
You could tell that they were definitely like method acting for months doing that.
Now, coffee drinker number 5, that guy should have never got
hack.
On.
What a
oh,
hack.
My God.
What a hack.
Excuse me, where's the creamer?
Come on. Who blows on the coffee when they get it? Who blows on the coffee?
That was a real macchiato. Come on. And it was CGI, too, the macchiato steam. I did not appreciate that.
I'll kick him off the set next time. I apologize.
Damn right. Stupid Edward Norton.
So, go ahead.
I mean, I think this is definitely. I think it's just a little bit more closer to my heart. I mean, the last documentary I did was called Gay Positive, and that was about how homosexual men aren't allowed to donate blood in the United States. You just can't. If you're gay, you can't donate blood. Even if your gay husband is dying in the hospital and needs blood, you cannot give him your blood.
Jeez.
It's so ridiculous. So, I mean, obviously, I worked very hard on that film. I was very passionate about it. It got it was named one of the top 15 LGBT documentaries to see in 2015. You know, I worked my ass off on it, but I'm not a gay man. I've never had the experience.
See, that's where your
walking.
Ass went.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
That's where your ass went.
Yeah. Very nice. Well played.
Yeah,
well played.
I know. I'm here all night.
I am too, Scott.
So, you know, I mean, it did very well, but I've never had the experience of walking into a gay donation, into a blood donation place and having, you know, be rejected because of who I am. You know, so I've never had that experience, whereas words, I'm having that experience. So hopefully that'll, you know, come out and it'll shine through the footage and everyone will be as happy with it as I am.
Is our good buddy David Bolito in the film?
Yes, he is. Awesome. Always. That's awesome. You gotta love him. He of course gave an amazing interview. You know, his whole everything. He's just amazing.
Yeah,
David Abelito just, in all sense of the word, is just a rock star in every way. So I was very excited. He's actually working on writing a theater piece called The Green Room. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he'll be able to talk to you guys about that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
All right.
As usual, when AJ comes on, I try to inform AJ about the man's style and things coming up. So I have found these.
Nice. What do you got for me?
I got the top 10 male fears with
Ooh.
Women.
Ooh, all right.
Oh,
all
okay. Right. All right. All right.
Shifting gears all here. Right. I like it.
Men worry that they're not being man enough.
Ooh.
Mm.
Interesting. Ooh, not being man enough.
Interesting. All right. All right.
So we got to get that flannel.
Mm-hmm.
Get the flannel out.
Get it dirty.
That.
Well, that's too manly now. The girl will be like, I'm scared. I might have to leave.
Yeah, where's that line? Like, that line of being manly and then axe murderer. There's a very fine line.
I keep on accidentally going over it. The cops come over. I'm like, oh, I did it again.
I'm just being manly.
Men worry about not measuring up in the workplace and in the bedroom.
measuring up in the workplace?
I don't really care. I just fall asleep. It's fine.
Let's see.
Both at work and in the bedroom.
Men worry that you'll compare them to your exes and find them lacking. Men worry that they don't look good enough to keep you from straying.
Okay.
All right. Keep that in mind when you come over. Men worry that you'll gain weight and a lot of weight.
Oh.
Those women.
I don't want to be the asshole that agrees with that.
AJ's like, yeah, them bitches get fat. I don't know.
Your statement just made you agree with that.
All right. Let's see what else we got
here. Maybe I won't promote this episode that much.
Don't worry. I will.
Men worry that they won't be able to make you feel better when you're upset.
Aww. Aww, that's sweet. The same asshole that just called you fat.
Exactly. What? You're upset I called you fat? Come here, baby. Come here.
I'll make it feel better. Who's a good fatso?
Bring that broad back over here. Let me rub your broad back.
You're damn
sweetheart.
Fat, but that ass is flat. I don't understand this.
I would love to sit on the love seat, honey, but we got to go to the full-size couch. It's all right.
Men worry that they're not going to have sex with anyone else for the rest of their lives.
Mm. Yeah. Men, it's just I like saltine crackers, but on occasion I want a Ritz, you know?
Or you want an oyster.
I saw what you did there.
Very nice.
Let's see, a couple more. Men worry about not being good fathers.
Okay.
That's legit. That's legitimate.
Men worry about hurting you, even if it involves breaking up with you.
Eh.
Yeah. And the number one male mystery fear, a man's greatest fear is not being able to make you happy.
Mm. All right.
I think this list is happy, is the question.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that list from the 1950? Yeah. The sock hop?
Let's see. Kennedy might win the election. That's interesting.
I wish. I wish.
Yeah, right?
The freaking road we're going down.
Yeah. No, I keep on saying that. It's better than that guy. That's my campaign slogan.
Yeah.
At least it's not that guy.
I love that that's our philosophy. Well... It could be that guy. That's basically...
That's a smaller pile of shit over there.
In any election, you could say, well, he's better than that guy. But this one, it's like, no, but really, that guy?
It's so bad.
Keep going. What else you got?
It's very scary. Very scary times that we went from... from what we have now to what's going to happen on either side, in my opinion.
Well, I'm getting that bus to Canada, so I hope to meet you guys on it.
Oh, all right. We'll film the documentary.
But yeah, there
the
you go.
Bus to Canada.
You know, the gingers are next, you know. I mean,
hey, easy.
It's the Muslims, the gays, and then the gingers. So remember, when they came for the Jews, I didn't fight because I wasn't Jewish. Remember that, ginger boy?
But they had souls. They had souls. We don't. We don't care.
I'm going to the number one mic if Trump wins.
I just saw a post that there's some kind of ginger convention, like all that's frightening.
Oh,
even as a ginger, I would not want to be anywhere near that.
My own people scare me. That's like a large reflector board. That's terrible.
It better happen at night, or the crowd's going to be done by 5 o'clock.
It sounds like some kind of trap. You know, everybody gets into the convention and then they close the doors and then
it's a trap.
I always get scared. Like when I go to Fire Island, I'm like, they put all these gays on a boat. Like, what if they just don't have the boat come back?
Is that a submarine over there? What the hell?
Well, the reason they put you on a boat is because there's got to be a lot of guys in sailor outfits on the way over there. So,
I'm not saying it would be a bad thing if they left us there. I'm just saying they could.
AJ, but, always a pleasure.
Yes, always.
Real quick, where do we go to check out your stuff? Your
You can find me on Twitter at MattiOliPro. And you could go to my website, which is MattiOliProductions.com.
All right. Awesome. AJ, we'll talk soon, and we'll also talk about some of the guests you are helping us get on. So,
Yeah, I actually have a few people I'm going to send you over tonight and tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
We will talk soon.
All right, have a good one.
Have a good night.
Bye, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
He gets us.
He knows what we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes four.
Yeah. That makes it, yeah, pretty much. But let's take a break. AJ Mattioli never lets us down.
No.
Never lets us down. Always brings it from I'm trying to come up with something because this is way after, like, this is hours after we interviewed her.
I had to look at him. You for a minute. So AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. Because we did this in order and this is the end. So.
No, this is the end. Real quick, I had a show with Rich Voss the other day.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to host for Rich Voss. Now, I would say a fair no. I would say 75% of my shows now I don't get nervous for anymore.
Okay.
I think I maybe broke past like a wall in the last year or so, like where I'm not that nervous anymore. Like, yeah, I'd like to get in my head for 5 minutes, 10 minutes before I go on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, crapping myself anymore. Like, when you first start, you basically crap yourself before you go on stage.
Yeah.
Or if you're Mike Berlew, you basically do the Ray Lewis dance outside and pump yourself up and all that stuff. But now, I was in my head on this one.
Okay.
Immediately. Because, one, it was through a guy that hires a lot of people for shows. And I would like just some consistent work would be cool.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, I did not do well. It was a small audience, and I just got in my head, and I bombed, basically.
Yeah.
Now, this was the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little nervous right there.
All
right. Fact.
You're 0-1 with the ground out. All right.
Exactly. And then, I don't know, you throw in the Rich Voss factor. Now, I grew up... I've mentioned this many times. I loved Opie and Anthony when I was a kid. Voss was always on the show.
Yeah.
He's still on the show. I still listen to his podcast sometimes with Bonnie, which you performed recently with.
Yeah, I did a guest spot for her at the Venetian with Rocco Romeo.
So, I think, like, for the first time in a while, I just got in my head. Like, it was like, oh, man. And this wasn't even day of. This was a couple of days before.
Wow.
And I think also because I went on vacation, so I wasn't doing comedy then. The week before, I had no comedy before. So it was like a good two and a half weeks of nothing, no stage show. So I went out to the Oak Barrel and just did a mic, like, just to
clear
the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Talk. And you know what? I'm there, and I'm a little nervous. Alex is with me. I even told her a few times, I'm nervous, you know, like, I don't know what it is. And so Rich Voss shows up. Grumpy man. What I heard afterwards, I heard that he kind of puts that off, but is actually one of the nicest guys in comedy, but he just doesn't want to be bothered. But right away I hear him, he ordered a bowl of soup. I guess he got a cup, complaining about the size of the soup. And this and that. Real short guy. The guy's been in the business for almost 40 years, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's actually like 60-something years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
He's been doing it since the 80s. That's why he knows Chris Rock and all them. He writes for them on the Oscars and stuff like that. But whatever. So he shows up, and I'm nervous. Joe Conte's there. He kind of calms me down a little bit because I know Joe. Like, we get along very well, and
he
starts
guy.
Running things by me on a joke that he's writing. I don't maybe even sense that I was nervous and just to get me out of that. And he's talking, and I'm looking at the audience, and the audience is all like maybe middle-aged women, like a lot of women, like an abnormal amount of women, a couple guys spread out, and I'm like, I said, I bet that group in the middle is teachers. I said this to Joe Conte. And I said, I think they're teachers. I don't know. Maybe my spider sense was going off. And I'm like, praying to myself. I'm like, oh, I hope they're teachers. Because then it almost settles you into, okay, I've probably got 20, at least 20 minutes of material now, like, on that. So
I hope you continue by saying I found out they're all construction workers.
Yeah. But, so I go on. I calm down a little bit. I go on. I feel good. And I asked the first table, hey, what do you guys do for work? ding, 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 ding. Teacher, and it's like this weight of off goes off my shoulder. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have some things I can play right now. Yeah. And it was like, okay, deliver one joke and then hit, and then that fear just goes away.
Yeah.
You know, like it just went away. Not saying I crushed or killed or anything, but it was, as a host, I feel like I did my job. I set up the audience. But it's funny, before that, like I went up to Rich Voss. I'm like, do you want any kind of particular intro? He's like, I will give it to you right before I go up. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like just weird stuff like that. But he,
yes, sir.
When I came down, when I came down and Joe Conte went up, he said something like solid or something like that. And that's all I need, you know. Mm-hmm. But Joe Fernandez even warned me about it, like working with him, he's going to make fun of you and stuff. He didn't make fun of them of that. He like made a stupid joke like when I shook his hand coming up, he's like, little clammy hand. And he called me like fee-fi-fo-fum or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I survived the Rich Voss thing.
Okay.
So now I've done the summer of Bob Levy, Rich Voss, and then next weekend's Angel Salazar. So if this was 1994, I would be crushing it right now.
I guess Jim Norton is the next one in line after that.
That would be awesome. but overall it was a good show, and I felt good. You know what it was? I hadn't hosted in a while either, but I felt really good, and overall it was a good experience.
So awesome.
Hopefully I didn't bomb too much and get more work. So, Berlo, let's wrap it up.
All right.
Anything to promote?
Well, I'll promote our buddy Trevor Bain.
our buddy. You know.
The 5 minutes we talked to him.
You know, our buddy.
And the 3 minutes that his people were making arm signals behind me telling me to shut up, what I didn't know about. But he is he's one spot away from the chase. He's currently in 15th in points. So watch him on NBC Sports Network next Sunday at Michigan, 1:30 p.m.
I got to stop you.
Yeah?
Your promo tonight was a NASCAR driver that we got to interview for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And you called him our good friend. Like, do you go out and he's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing tonight?
Yo, Trev, where you at? I'm at the next race. Oh, that's cool.
Yo, Trev, where you at? I'm like 15th place right now. Hold on. I got to turn.
Hey, you're not supposed to text and drive. Ah, that's cool. I'm a professional driver. I know what I'm doing.
That has to be, hands down, the worst promo you've done on this show.
A new Berlo record.
Anything to promote?
I had nothing to say. I'm like, oh, crap.
I'm going to promote our good friend Jared Leto because I saw his movie the other day.
Yeah, go see Suicide Squad because not many people will.
Let's get to that real quick.
All right.
Saw
Suicide. You want me to throw this down so the file gets corrupted so you don't have to worry about it?
No. Okay. Saw Suicide Squad last night.
All right.
I started seeing the reviews. I was like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be that bad. I want to like it. I want to like these movies. Like, I haven't seen Batman Superman yet, and we talked about that, but you said it wasn't good. Suicide Squad is basically just taking a concept that should be bulletproof. Like, hey, we're going to take a bunch of villains and make them do like a...
Force them to be good guys and how they have to adapt. And
it basically is the worst storytelling I have ever seen in a superhero movie. I also think maybe I'm biased. I'm starting to get maybe a little... Not like I need a break from superhero movies, I think, because like,
I need to go to one in track, but go on.
So the movie, like, they introduced Suicide. I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah.
They introduced the Suicide Squad. Like, the first minute they're introducing the guys. Like, here's Deadshot. Mm-hmm. It's like his stats come up and stuff like that and whatever. They introduced the Suicide Squad and they're like, here's your mission. 2 seconds later, all of a sudden, like, the world's being taken over by, like, one of the Suicide Squad members that, like, it was like, we have this idea. They're like, no, you can't bring this idea to us. It's too crazy. Okay, we approve your idea. And then the one person's, like, taking over the world in, like, 8 minutes. Literally 8 minutes. And it's like, whoa. Okay, there's no build up here. And then they're like, they introduce only a couple of the characters, and then they're like, here's blah blah blah. He can climb anything. He's part of the squad, and like he just like walks into the sea. Two of them. There's two characters that they do not explain, and they just walk in, and it's like, okay. I think there's a reason they bring the one in, but it's like the dialogue to me is terrible. Jared Leto, not that good.
No, that's a shame. I heard he was good, but they use him for nothing, really.
Honestly, I thought Will Smith and Harley Quinn were the only saving grace. The other ones, it was like, I also felt like they forced Batman into the film. They forced the Flash into the film for a half a second. It's like, it's just everything is like smashed into a film.
That's kind of like Batman v Superman. It's just, they're like, oh, we got 20 different comic book stories we can use here. Let's throw them all in there. I'm sure that will work. It was just atrocious. And it's like, oh, look, there's a file on Aquaman here. Oh, look, there's Cyborg. Just tell a good movie.
I didn't like it. I wanted to like it. When you see it, maybe we'll go over the plot holes.
All right.
Makes no sense to do that now because it's been a long episode. So, do I have anything to promote?
Is Trevor Bayne your good buddy?
I'm going to promote Captain Wild Bill. He's been texting me from the boat. Apparently the catch is good.
Oh, nice.
So King Crab Prices, get out there this weekend. Yeah. He's giving
you know what's really stupid? I just realized this episode won't go up for a couple weeks, so it's kind of like I just promoted a race that was over for a week.
Yeah, we might throw this up beforehand. But okay. I might promote all right, September 17th, I'll be down at the Stangle Stage in Flemington.
Oh.
We did that once before. It's some kind of fundraiser or something like that. But
gotcha.
Other than that,
raising good money for our thing.
Hold on. Alex is whispering at me like I can't see her. Go ahead. Yeah.
Tap I wouldn't promote 13.
Tap House 15, but I think this is episode's going to be on after that. So
I thought she said Tap House 13.
For those of you, time travelers, if this episode is not on, Tap House 15, awesome free show. They made some great posters for us. Joe Fernandez, KP Burke, Jackie Byrne, and Mike Ciccoli.
And you.
Oh, yeah, and me. But let's get the hell out of here. We're idiots. Goodbye. Life is funny, people.
Laugh at it.
Keep the wind at your back.
Yeah, I'm the one you bitch like. And I be talking shit like. I ain't scared to lose a fist fight. And she grabbing on my like. She wanna see if it'll fit right. That's just the wave.
That's just the wave.
Oh, yeah.
Can't fly in a cage.